This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. The three-step mistake recovery process for nonverbal missteps. How to recover your body language fast when a gesture goes wrong. In short, a nonverbal misstep does not have to derail a conversation. The moment you send the wrong signal with your posture, gesture, or expression, a three-step recovery process gives you the tool to correct course without making the situation worse. Acknowledge the misstep to yourself the instant you notice it. Correct with one deliberate, grounded physical adjustment. Move on without drawing attention to what just happened. Definition: nonverbal mistake recovery is the deliberate process of recognizing when your body language has sent an unintended signal during a conversation, making a precise physical correction, and continuing forward without amplifying the original error or breaking the flow of the exchange. There is a particular kind of dread that comes with watching yourself send the wrong signal in real time. You cross your arms without thinking during a colleague's vulnerable moment. You look away from the camera at the exact second you say something that needs to be believed. You shrink back in your chair during a conversation that called for confidence, and you see the shift in the other person's face. They noticed. Body language operates underneath the words. It is always broadcasting, and it does not wait for you to be ready. Most people, in the moment they realize their posture or gesture has sent the wrong message, do one of two things: they freeze and hope nobody noticed, or they overcorrect so dramatically that they draw far more attention to the mistake than the mistake itself ever would have. Neither response serves you. What you need is a working process. In Say It Right Every Time, I call it the three-step mistake recovery. Acknowledge, correct, and move on. It is drawn from chapter 3 of that book, and it is the process I now reach for every time my body contradicts my intention mid-conversation. Why body language missteps hit harder than verbal ones. Words can be clarified. You can say, "That did not come out the way I meant it," and the listener understands that words are imprecise instruments. Body language does not carry that same forgiveness. People experience physical signals as more honest than speech, which means when your posture collapses or your eyes dart away at the wrong moment, the impression lands deeper and lingers longer. The problem is compounded by what happens inside you when you notice the error. Your nervous system registers the moment as a social threat. If you have read about the amygdala hijack and how it escalates workplace tension, you will recognize this pattern: a small misstep triggers a stress response, which clouds your thinking, which leads to an even bigger physical reaction. One crossed arm becomes a full shutdown. One averted glance becomes a pattern of disengagement. Here is the truth of it: your ability to recover from a nonverbal mistake with composure is often more impressive than not making the mistake in the first place. The goal is not perfection. The goal is recovery. What has to be true before the process begins? The three steps only work if you have one thing in place first: the ability to notice your own body in real time. This sounds obvious, but most people are almost completely unaware of their physical signals during a high-pressure exchange. Their attention is entirely on the words, the argument, the other person's reaction, or their own internal anxiety. Before you can recover from a nonverbal misstep, you need a baseline level of body awareness. Practice checking in with your physical state before conversations matter. What are your arms doing? Where is your weight sitting? Are your shoulders level or pulled up toward your ears? This is not a performance check. It is a calibration habit. The more you practice it in low-stakes moments, the more accessible it becomes when the stakes are high. The second precondition is a recovery commitment. Decide now, before you need it, that your response to a misstep is not to freeze and not to spiral. Having a clear process prepared in advance is what stops the amygdala hijack from taking over. Preparation is always the foundation of composure. The three-step mistake recovery process for body language. This process is what I outline in chapter 3 of Say It Right Every Time. It is compact by design. In the middle of a conversation, you do not have time for a lengthy internal protocol. You need something you can complete in under 10 seconds without the other person noticing anything except that you seem more settled than you did a moment ago. Number 1. Acknowledge. Acknowledge the misstep to yourself, quietly and without judgment. Do not perform acknowledgement for the other person. Do not announce it, apologize for it, or explain it. Simply register internally. I sent the wrong signal. Something needs to shift. This internal acknowledgement matters more than it might seem. When you skip it, you tend to barrel forward with the same unhelpful body language, unaware that the gap between what you're saying and what your body is saying is growing wider. The acknowledgement is the moment you close that gap. It might sound like, "My arms closed off when she said that." That reads as defensive. Say it plainly to yourself and move to step two. Number one, correct. Make one deliberate physical adjustment. Not five. Not a full posture overhaul. One clear, specific correction that addresses what went wrong. If your arms crossed, uncross them and place one hand open on the table. If you looked away, bring your gaze back to the other person's face. If you leaned back and retreated physically, bring your weight gently forward. If your jaw tightened or your face went flat, release the tension and let your expression open slightly. The correction must be deliberate, but it should not be theatrical. A sharp, sudden change in posture signals self-consciousness and draws attention. The correction should feel like a quiet settling. Think of it as choosing a new physical position and inhabiting it with intention. Hold it. Do not abandon that 2 seconds later because it feels unfamiliar. Power posture, which I discuss alongside nonverbal confidence in Chapter 3, works precisely because a deliberate physical stance has a physiological effect. Changing your body changes your internal state. The correction is not just for the other person's benefit. It is for yours. Number 1. Move on. This is the step people consistently fail. They make the physical correction, and then they spend the next 3 minutes punishing themselves internally for the original misstep. The self-criticism sits behind their eyes, and the other person can see it even if they cannot name it. Moving on means directing your full attention back to the conversation, not to your body, not to your anxiety, back to the exchange in front of you. The misstep is done. The correction is made. Now you serve the conversation. If the misstep was significant enough that the other person clearly noticed, a brief verbal bridge can help. One direct line is enough. "You know what? I don't think that came out right. Let me try again." What I mean is the script from "Say It Right Every Time" for recovering after fumbling words applies equally here. Say it calmly, make one clear correction, and return to the thread. The process in practice, a real scenario. Consider a performance review conversation. You are a manager delivering difficult feedback to a team member who pushes back. At the moment they challenge your assessment, you feel your body respond before you can think. Your chair rolls back slightly, you break eye contact, and your voice tightens. The body language says, "I am uncertain. I may be wrong. I am retreating." You notice it. That is step one, acknowledge. "My posture just told her I'm not confident in this feedback. That is not where I want to be." Step two, correct. You roll the chair quietly back to where it was. You return your gaze to her face. You place both forearms on the desk with a relaxed, open posture. No announcement. No apology. One deliberate physical reset. Step three, move on. You continue the conversation, voice steady. "I hear that you see it differently. Let me be specific about what I observed. The physical recovery has already begun to rebuild the credibility the misstep briefly undermined. That is the full loop. It takes less time than reading about it." A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Adapting the process for video calls and remote settings. The three-step process applies equally in remote settings, but the mechanics shift because the frame narrows what is visible. In a video call, the other person cannot see your leg position or your full stance. What they can see is magnified your face, your shoulders, your eyes, and any restless movement. This means your corrections in a video call need to target a smaller set of signals. If you have been hunching toward the screen, the correction is to sit tall and create space between your shoulders and your ears. If your eyes have been drifting to your own thumbnail in the corner of the screen, the correction is to look directly at the camera lens. That single shift, gaze from the screen to the lens, is the equivalent of making eye contact in a face-to-face conversation, and most people never make it. For managing nonverbal communication in tense situations, video calls are actually more demanding than in-person settings, not less. The absence of full body signals means facial expressions carry twice the weight. Acknowledge any collapse in your expression or posture with the same precision as you would in a room with someone. Where people go wrong when trying to recover. There are three mistakes I see consistently when people attempt to correct nonverbal missteps. Each one is understandable, and each one makes things worse. The mistake: overcorrecting with an exaggerated gesture or posture shift. Why it happens: anxiety triggers a compensatory response. You went too closed, so you throw yourself into aggressively open body language to compensate. What to do instead? Make the correction proportional. If you crossed your arms and crossed them and rest your hands in a relaxed position, do not suddenly throw your arms wide or lean so far forward that you crowd the space. The goal is neutral and grounded, not performative. The mistake: verbalizing a nonverbal error when it did not need to be named. Why it happens: the instinct to explain and control, especially if you are someone who relies heavily on words, is strong. What to do instead? Use the verbal recovery script only when the other person clearly noticed and the moment calls for it. Most nonverbal missteps, if corrected quickly and without fanfare, go unregistered by the other person. Naming them draws attention to them retroactively. The mistake: correcting the posture, but continuing to punish yourself internally, which leaks through your expression and eyes. Why it happens: the body is corrected, but the emotional loop continues. You look grounded, but your eyes give you away. What to do instead? The internal move is as important as the physical one. Name the mistake to yourself quickly that was a misstep, make the correction, and then redirect your attention entirely outward toward the conversation. Use the core framework if you need a grounding tool to bring your focus back. Your body language recovery checklist. Use this before important conversations to prime the process and return to it after conversations where you felt your body send the wrong signal. Before the conversation, number 1. Check your resting posture, shoulders back and relaxed, weight balanced, hands visible and still. Number 2. Identify one signal that tends to betray you under pressure: eye contact, crossed arms, retreating posture, facial tension. Number 3. Decide in advance what your correction for that signal will be. Know it before you need it. Number 4. Run a brief conversation pre-mortem: what nonverbal response might you default to if the conversation becomes tense, and how will you recover it during the conversation? Number 1. Check in with your body at natural pauses after a question is asked, as the other person is speaking. Number 2. When you notice a misstep, complete all three steps. Acknowledge, correct, move on. Do not skip to step 3. Number 3. Use one verbal bridge only if the other person visibly reacted. Keep it short and return to the conversation immediately after the conversation. Number 1. Identify one nonverbal misstep and one recovery that worked. Write them both down. Number 2. Note what triggered the misstep. Stress, surprise, a specific topic. Build it into your pre-conversation awareness next time. Number 3. Credit yourself for the correction. Composure under pressure is a skill you earn through practice, not a quality you either have or do not. When you are working on rebuilding a relationship after a pattern of missteps, the bridge method for repairing working relationships is a strong companion resource. Similarly, if a conversation has escalated despite your best efforts, the recover method gives you a way forward when things have gone past a single misstep. When recovery builds more trust than perfection ever could. There is something I have come to believe deeply after decades of watching people communicate under pressure. The ones who earn the most respect are not the ones who never slip. They are the ones who notice when they slip, correct it with quiet confidence, and carry on. That composure under pressure signals something to the people around you. This person knows themselves. This person does not fall apart. I have worked with the SBI method for giving corrective feedback alongside this recovery process, because they address the same underlying truth-specific, direct, calm responses to difficult moments, build credibility faster than any smooth performance ever could. Your body language will betray you sometimes. Every practitioner's does. What separates the ones who build trust from the ones who erode it is not the mistake itself. It is the recovery. The three-step process of acknowledge, correct, and move on gives you the system to make that recovery swift, clean, and grounded. Practice it in low-stakes conversations first. Practice it in the mirror if that feels useful. Apply it the next time your body contradicts your intention, and notice what happens when you move through all three steps without skipping the one that matters most moving on. Your next step is to identify one non-verbal habit that most often betrays you under pressure and to build your correction for it before the next conversation that matters. That single act of preparation is where non-verbal mistake recovery begins. Frequently asked questions. What is non-verbal mistake recovery? Non-verbal mistake recovery is the deliberate process of recognizing when your body language has sent an unintended signal, then correcting your physical stance or gesture and moving forward without dwelling on the error. It keeps the conversation on track without amplifying the original misstep. How do you recover from body language mistakes in a conversation? The most effective approach is a three-step process. Acknowledge the misstep to yourself in the moment. Correct your posture or gesture with one deliberate physical adjustment, then move on without drawing further attention to it. Practicing this sequence builds composure under pressure. Why does nonverbal mistake recovery feel so difficult in the moment? Because your brain registers a social threat in real time, which triggers a stress response that makes you either freeze or overcorrect. This reaction, sometimes called an amygdalar hijack, amplify small body language errors into bigger disruptions unless you have a prepared recovery process. Can you use a verbal script to support a nonverbal recovery? Yes, a short reset phrase like the one from Say It Right Every Time, delivered calmly while you physically reground yourself, bridges verbal and nonverbal recovery. The key is that your body and your words must realign at the same moment, or the recovery loses credibility. What body language mistakes are hardest to recover from? Closed-off postures during moments that required openness, like crossed arms during a colleague's concern, tend to leave the strongest impression. Eye contact failures during a key point and visible nervous gestures like touching the face or looking away mid-sentence are also difficult to work back without a deliberate reset. How does nonverbal mistake recovery work in remote or video meetings? In video calls, the frame limits what people see, so posture, facial expression, and eye contact carry far more weight. A recovery means sitting tall, looking directly at the camera lens, and consciously relaxing your jaw and shoulders. The principles of acknowledge, correct, and move on apply equally, but the corrections are smaller and more targeted. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use. Whenever you need them, visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.